All right. Well, I'm hopeful that we can finish out our discussion on the Ten Commandments this morning. Yeah. We've worked on here a bit for several weeks, and I've kind of been in and out. Thanks for bearing with me. And let's see if we can't get into the last time we were here. I think we got into another discussion on you shall not murder, and wound up taking that into almost another full class. We were about to talk about adultery, and then not stealing, and witnessing against your neighbor, etc. And so we'll do that this morning, and we might even get to laws about altars, but I doubt it. Depends on how much y'all want to talk, because I can tell you I don't. So if I get you all to talk, I will be doing really well today. But as we've been going through the Ten Commandments, we've spent a lot of time really looking at them and discussing them, and also looking at how they've been further explained elsewhere in Scripture. And this morning, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the importance of why is it that God has put in the commandments that you should not commit adultery. I guess I kind of want to ask that question. Why is this something that he felt the need to specify in the Ten Commandments, that adultery is so strong that he had to put it here? Why? Why is it so important? Does it rate with murder? Is it, you know?
Look, it calls murder.
You're not kidding. Yeah. And definitely on your hands.
I know, I watched too much Dateline.
Yeah, so.
She'll tell you how to do it.
You know, on the. All like 30 seasons of Dateline are on the Peacock streaming service.
So yeah,
you can just go back and watch it all if you want. So
I can do that.
You know, what is it that really holds from a Christian perspective? What holds society together? How is it that we are called to further God's kingdom here on earth, not just witnessing and not just being Christians, but what kind of structure is it that really holds things together,
the
that
God's defined?
The family unit, yeah. Yeah, the family unit. Too often you hear, we have a message that doesn't change, but how is it that we're supposed to deliver it effectively? Well, first and foremost, it's supposed to be delivered in the home. First and foremost, it's supposed to be within the family unit. And so if you allow adultery to be something that you can even consider, you're looking at tearing down the fabric and the foundation of what God places so much on.
Karl Marx, that was part of one of his teachings, was if you wanted to take over a society, the first thing that you had to destroy was the nuclear family.
Yeah.
And I mean, to take it a step further, one of the easiest ways to do that was sexualizing children.
Yeah. So there, if you want to break things apart, break apart the family. I mean, God is very clear about the family structure, the importance of it, and we've talked about the Ten Commandments, and we've talked about God's Word, and how much it is that God says that you shall speak these things to your children. This is what we read in His Word, that these things should be furthered and they should be handed down and they should be spoken of that way. And if you don't have that family unit together where the the parents are leading the children, and then those children lead their children, and that whole structure works, you can tear it all apart with adultery and break it all down. And you can start a cycle that is almost impossible to break sometimes. And so that in and of itself is a reason to make this a very important commandment, and one that should definitely be adhered to. Not that any of them shouldn't be, but that's at the core of it all. And so it's important to us when we think about the Ten Commandments, what is it that breaks apart when we go against the commandments, when we go in the wrong direction, and what is it that fails? And in this case, it's the family unit that fails. So can you give me a cup of water or something? I am losing that air.
What God established as a holy marriage as well. He established that in Genesis between one man and one woman. And then there's even examples that you've got Abraham and Hagar and all that going, and what ended up happening there.
Absolutely.
And getting exiled and all that kind of stuff. So there's several examples of that not going right. Get into David.
Oh, yeah.
That's what David and Sheba.
Yeah, and you know, it goes back to one of the other things we often say, you know, is, and you'll say this about everything. We say adultery, we talk about divorce, you name it. And we say, well, it's not an unforgivable sin. You're right, but the consequences still exist.
Ripples.
The ripples, yes. They still exist and they keep affecting, and they're real. And there's always consequences to sin.
Abortion.
And you were right about yeah, you take a look at David. It's just, things got bad.
If you can't be devoted to just your spouse, how can you devote to God?
Absolutely.
He sent Christ to be the bridegroom and is that example for us.
Yeah, that's something we didn't even get into is Christ and his church and what marriage is a picture of. And, you know, there's so much put upon the foundations of a marriage that is right in God's eyes and what comes from it. And unfortunately, this day and age, we just kind of want to throw our hands in the air and say, well, you know, whatever, whoever, whatever. And that's not how it was intended. It's just not how it's supposed to be. Thank you. See, look, here's a picture of a great marriage right here. See that? Yeah, what'd you put in this?
Drink it first, then she'll tell you.
Turn the lids on, well.
Where'd you find something that strong in church?
Her office.
In the drawer.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
I figured if I was going to have you leave at any time, it'd be during the adultery discussion.
Thanks.
Another thing I thought of when you were talking about that was how often God, as he's dealing with how wayward the Israelites are, he accuses them of committing adultery and having fornication with these other gods.
And, absolutely.
And prostituting themselves. And
it's interesting, isn't it, when they're that God looks at things that way. He so desires and you know, wants and deserves our worship, that when we are putting idols in front of ourselves, that we are essentially cheating on God, if you will. Yeah, absolutely. So then the next one was, you shall not steal. You know, personal property. These are things that at the core, you would almost think, why does he need to tell us this? Should we not know this? But how many times do we say that when we talk about the Israelites and we talk about ourselves? Should we not know, something else? Should we not have been able to see that Christ absolutely is who he says he is? Why do we have so much trouble doing what we're supposed to do? And it goes back to what we said earlier. We live in a fallen world. We give in to temptation. And, these are the basic rules that God has given to the Israelites and to essentially to us, to all society, to say that if you can stay in line with these things, then you're going to be in line with everything else. But more importantly, this is the mirror for us to look into, to see where we fail, to see what it is that we're missing. And it's a thing where we should be able to look at this and go, wow, I truly have problems, and I am in need of a savior. And that's the real point of the Ten Commandments. But do you think theft was an issue? I'm just wondering. The shall not steal. Yes, it's important. But when you're living where they are, the way they are together, what would happen if theft became rampant among the Israelites? How would that affect their society? What would it's worse than your neighbor
trust
borrowing your lawnmower and not giving it back.
Mm-hmm. Trust.
Trust. Yeah. Oh, you guys got a neighbor?
Oh, I don't know. He needed a rake yesterday, the neighbor's had it. He says, it's right there in the garage. I said, go get it.
I live in a couple rakes to help the guy answer the one that's yard. He'll get it back when he gets it back.
Did you go buy another one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I got two kids. Go rake that up. The lawnmower can't get it, they will.
You know, what was the old joke? Was you ever sit on the couch and realize you don't have the remote? Mm-hmm. And you wish you had a remote to get that remote? And then the follow-up line is, nah, that's why I had kids.
You download an app for that now.
Yeah. For having kids.
And they're at first 14.
There is a child in this class. Yeah. I can't believe I'm saying this, but you have to behave.
Okay.
Scott, I think that's the pot calling kettle black.
Thank you, Jake.
So I also think that on the stealing or the committing adultery, and maybe some others too, like, if you think back to why do people do those things, it's like trying to fulfill something they don't have. They want something they don't have, or to, you know, it's not being content with what they have. And I think that, I think God knows that. God knows that's like a bottomless pit. Like, you start down that road, and it's just like that's.
It's a snowball rolling down a hill. Yeah.
Well, I think you could argue that theft is what was the original sin.
Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We stole from the tree.
Yep. Yeah, you probably could. But you could also argue that it was, it was covetousness. It was, and of course we'll get into that here in a minute, but. It's when you start to look at these and you realize that you go back to the first commandment, and when God is saying that, you know, have no gods before me, if you can keep that one, then the bulk of these kind of fall into place. I guess though that we start to see when we really think about it, the reason why love is the greatest commandment, right?
Yeah.
It really applies across the board. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. Again, these are bare minimums for them to have And when Brad said trust, adjust society, right? In order to be able to get along. But what should their number one concern be all the time?
Glory unto God.
Glory unto God. That should be their first and foremost thought and concern. And that, again, we go back to why is the first commandment the first commandment? And then they're going to face all of these things living in and amongst themselves in a society. And all of these things will break down and put things in front of them being able to give glory to God that he so richly deserves. You know, this has bearing false witness includes you know, lying in a court of law. It includes slander. You know, lying against your neighbor. So when you start to think about going down the list here, again, let's just put two people in a subdivision next to each other. And if they're the only people on earth, well, do not murder. So you don't kill your neighbor. Do not commit adultery. Well, then you leave your neighbor's wife alone or your neighbor's husband alone. Do not steal from your neighbor. Do not lie against your neighbor. There are so many things here that really have to stay in line for society to keep going in the right direction, and for you to be able to freely put God first, because all of these things will interfere with your ability to put God first. They will distract you. They will lead you down the wrong path. And Satan sits there and says, "This is wonderful. This is exactly what I was after." And the whole time, you know, God is saying, "I warned you about all this." You know, he's warned. So in Scripture, we see it so many times. Do not do this. Surely God didn't mean that. Mm-hmm. It never ends well. So when we sit here and we read these things, and when God says, "Do not do this," we have no place to say, "Well, maybe once won't hurt." You know, it was the one bite of the fruit that started it all. And like you said, Jamie, it's we can go back to original sin.
You've got your first four commandments that are to bring glory and honor to God. Other six are what you do to others, between you and others, that show bringing glory and honor to God. If you can't do those six, then you're probably not doing those four.
Probably not.
Yeah, the two greatest commandments, love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That covers the first four, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last six, name your neighbor as thyself. Covers the last six. But God would argue that, and granted, that's the greatest. You love your God with all your heart and mind. But if you really, obviously, that they say that covers the first four, but really it also covers the last six. Because if you love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul,
then all these other things fall into place.
I mean, you want to be obedient, right?
Right.
You know, so I mean, the other six would be covered too under that.
Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely, those are self-serving things that.
Yeah, I think I told you guys a long time ago, I was having a discussion with one of my brothers that, you know, when we talk about the Bible, it never ends well. But he just brought up all by himself, you know, those Ten Commandments. That's a, if God hadn't given those, we would have come up with them on our own.
No.
And I'm not trying to badmouth my brother. I just thought it was an interesting perspective. Because his thought process was...
Could he explain number one then?
That, well, hold on. Well, this is where it got good, right? This is where it got good, because his follow-up to that was, you know, in order for society to exist, we eventually saw that we can't do these things, or we're going to wind up just wiping ourselves out. These are just common sense things that society has to do in order to survive. And then I said... Well, what about the first one? He goes, "Yeah, we probably wouldn't have done that on our own, would we?"
the first four, really.
Yeah. I just started right there, though. Right? Yeah. Yeah, we probably wouldn't have done that on our own. No, we would not have done that on our own.
Has he ever been to, you know, a backwards third world country?
He's been to China, which doesn't really
people who apply. Yeah, people who don't have, you know, this to base their society on.
Yeah,
it's not pretty.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty here where we do.
I want what you have, so therefore I'm going to come in and kill your whole family.
Yeah. No, understood. Well, let's go ahead and talk about verse 17 here. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is what I find so interesting about this. We know that we're dealing with a group of people here, and I say that specifically because of the Israelites that we've been discussing their journey, who tend to search, who tend to worship whatever is around, and if it's not around, they'll make it, you know. The first sign of a false god is, can you touch it, and can you feel it, and can you see it? The whole point of God giving them this is to say that covetousness, at least from the way I read this, and we can go around in circles all day long about how this stacks up and how it works together. But covetousness winds up being at the root of nearly breaking all of these commandments, right? There's something at the core of this discussion that if you can tackle this desire to have other things, and the reason God puts it in writing the way that he does here, it's a very specific approach, right? Don't covet his house. Don't covet his wife. Don't wish that you had servants like your neighbor has. Don't wish that you had his animals. And in the end, anything. So I'm going to hit you with some specifics here, and then I'm going to wrap it up and say, it doesn't matter what it is. If I didn't list it, it's still included. Don't look over there and say, man, I really want that. I'd love to have that. Because, well, you might steal it. Oh, are you looking at his wife? Well, you might commit adultery. Oh, there, you might even bear false witness against somebody. I mean, there's a list of where you could fall apart because you sit there and you covet what is at the next door neighbor's. And if you're doing that, you're also not doing what should be first and foremost. You're not honoring God. You know, you're not in the right place. And it puts it all in perspective for me when I think about idols. I think about the way that we, you know, why do we work so hard, especially in this society? Why do we work so many hours? Why do we do the things that we constantly do in this society? And I understand that you know, we got to keep the lights on and we got to keep everybody fed. But it generally goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
It generally goes beyond, well, the subsistence living is not what I want. I don't want to just, I want some nice things. Why? Because I deserve them. Why do I deserve? I don't know. I just do. Well, the guy next door's got this, so I want it too. I'm not going to take it from him, but I still covet it. And so because of it, I'm going to forsake my family. Because of it, I'm going to not put my heart where it belongs in honoring God. And I'm going to work as hard as I can to get that money so that I can buy that thing. I'm going to go far enough to say that I would imagine each and every one of us in here at some point or another has been in that situation and may be in that situation and not even realize it. Because it is just our society. It's the way everybody seems to live. I've got to work 80 hours a week. Why? Well, I bought a car. You know, I got to pay for my house. And yeah, it is the way things are, but I just caution all of us to be very careful about where our heart is in the midst of all of the labor. And what is it that we're doing? Can we set aside some of that and refocus and put ourselves where we need to be? Because I would venture to say that in most cases, when we work as hard as we do and we neglect the things within our own house in order to achieve the things that we don't have in our house, that the next generation suffers. And we don't realize how much we're suffering until we start to see the failure in the next generation. And we say, oh my, maybe I didn't do this the best way I could have. You know,
I think some of it comes down to being content with what you have, right? And then it's like, if you're constantly coveting or going after something else, well, now you're missing out on the blessings that you've been given.
You absolutely are.
You know, you realize after the fact, oh, that was so much better than I thought, you know, oh, whatever, you know, and then because you're too focused on what's the next best thing, you know, what do we want to do now?
Well, and coveting goes much beyond, like, oh, that's, you know, oh wow, nice truck.
Or,
you know, right. Every time we see a Corvette, kind of drools a little. I'm going to somebody's house and being like, you know, wow, this is really nice. Or, you know, when we're at the beach, it's like, oh man, this is awesome. You know, it's different than recognizing or, you know, saying this is really nice. I mean, it's an inordinate, it's a beyond reasonable desire for something. There you go. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes.
But it starts somewhere.
True. It is.
It starts somewhere, and then it grows and grows.
If you keep feeding that, then
Then you're putting it before God. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. So we'll probably talk some more about some of these, but I wanted to get through the Ten Commandments today. We've only been about 3 months getting through these. I appreciate you hanging in there while we go through that. I'm not going to get into verse 18 today. We've only got about a minute here, and then we'll next week we will ask, why were the people so worried about the thunder, and why were the people so afraid, and why did they not want God to speak to them? You know, there's some questions there to answer, and we'll talk about that next week, and then we'll get into the laws about the altars, and God saying essentially that, you know, if you're going to build something that is meant to be involved in worship of me, then make sure that what you build is not what you worship. You know, so he's going to give some guidelines here and some additional rules about things now that he's handed down the Ten Commandments. And so we'll see how far that gets us before we get into chapter 21. In the book of Exodus, and hopefully I'll be a little more coherent next week. Thank you. I told Ann, I know, told somebody this morning, said if I make it through Sunday school, it will be a miracle.
See, miracles still happen.
They do. They absolutely do. Any final discussion points, the topics, or criticisms, additional drinking of sports drinks. Good enough. All right, let's do this. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again for all that you've done. Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we depart from here. Lord, help us to remember these prayer requests this morning. Continue to lift them up as we pray with you and spend time with you this week. Lord, many things were mentioned this morning for folks who are going through difficult times, and Father, we just continue to ask you to be with all of them. And Lord, just be with those who are leading our worship service this morning. We just ask you, Lord, to give them the strength that they need to deliver your message, whether it's in song or whether it's through the sermon. And we just thank you, Lord, again for all that you've done. We'll look forward to what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.